Now let's bring on the million-dollar man, the man that sat in the big chair, Ned Colletti. Ned, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
All right, I remember, and I can't remember the year, Don Mattingly was the manager.
Yep.
And there was this terrible stretch. And I know you were agonizing at that point in time about possibly making a decision. And Don said, you know what? He told the team, we're just going to restart the season starting today. And then they went on that incredible run. Is that the kind of thing that should happen now?
Well, it depends on the nature of the clubhouse and all that. I mean, it's tough for me to say because I'm not in that room. That year was 2013. We were 12 games under 500, 9.5 out, like 5 weeks later in the season than we are today. I think we won 92 games that year and ended up winning the division by a bunch. So I think that probably everything that can be said has been said. I think what you got to do at this point in time is it's up to the individual to figure it out and to really just be able to focus on what they do. Last night there was a excessive amount of flyouts in my mind. Guys trying to hit it out. I think they flew out 16 times. I think Miami may have flew out 5 or 6 times. You see guys uppercut. You see guys trying to do it all with one swing, and you can't really play that way. I think it's one thing compounds on another, but at the end of the day, you got to keep your strike zone small, which is what they did all last year, and pound away. This is not a good pitching staff that Miami's going to feature. And you've got opportunity, but you gotta have you be able to slow your mind down as a hitter. Right now, the offense has really left a lot of guys on. Runners in scoring position is way down, but that can change in a heartbeat.
No, it can. And Ned, so at this point, do you trust the process? You trust the front office and way you've built this, and the manager and the way Dave Roberts has built this? Even though it's going bad and really hoping that it's going to get turned around? Or do you have to do something radically different to kind of change the culture, change the dynamic of what's happening right now?
Well, that's a very interesting question. First off, I'll answer like a secondary question to that. If you're going to do something like that, you better know it's going to be better. You better know it's going to be better. It can't be the same, and you have to make that decision that it needs to be done, A. But whatever you decide to do, it's more than just the first half of that decision. It's the second half, which is as important as the first half, if not sometimes more important than the first half. But I do think that typically I would wait till you got to early May. I would let the team settle in. I would look for a rhythm of the club. I would hope that we had a couple, 2 or 3 of those walk-off type emotional wins to kind of solidify the group in a confident way. And I wait till early May and see where we were at. This team, we're a little bit past early May. We're a week past early May, but they've also just got Justin Turner back. Last night was opening day for Justin Turner, maybe one of their best players. Corey Seager is gone. You've got a lot of different dynamics that you typically wouldn't have at the beginning of the season. So I think it's going to take a little bit more time, in my mind, to really kind of stir it out. I know people don't want to hear that. They want results today. But when you do that in a sport like baseball, you can make a huge mistake too early. I don't see Arizona running away with it. I don't think their bullpen is strong enough. They've got their own injury issues. They lost Pollock. Robbie Ray's on the shelf. Walker's gone for the rest of the year. They've got their own issues. I think this division is going to play back, and it's going to be tight at the end. I think that anybody's going to, not San Diego necessarily, not necessarily San Francisco, but I think Colorado, Arizona, Dodgers, I think they'll go down to the wire with it. But it's tough to watch right now, and everybody, you know, the blessing and the curse of the sport is you play it almost every day, so you're always thinking about it.
Yeah, but the problem is, Ned, they're not beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
No doubt.
You got to beat Cincinnati. You got to beat Miami. They did that. They feasted on those teams last year.
Yes, they did.
And
yes,
if you can't even beat the teams you're supposed to beat, you're in big trouble.
Well, there's games where you're going to get beat. The other team is getting paid, too. It's not one set of professionals and a bunch of amateurs you're playing against. They're getting paid, too. And they're expected to play well and kind of get their feet wet and kind of grow on the job. So you're right. You're supposed to be beating that team. I think they're maybe 2-9, 2-10 against San Diego, against Miami, against Cincinnati, bottom 3 teams in each division. And that's all within the last two or three weeks. So not good. Miami's beaten them 3. Cincinnati beat them 4. San Diego beat them 2. So whatever that adds up to 9. 2-9 in that group. You've got to beat those teams. But, again, you can't just throw your gloves out there and expect to beat them. You've got to be able to slow the game down in your own mind as a hitter and concentrate. The kid last night had given up 13 runs in his last two starts, including 5 or 6 home runs. Did the Dodgers go in with a game plan to see if we can hit it out and really make a big impact early? You get 16 flyouts. You know, maybe that was the approach. Not sure. But you got to play the game the right way, and you got to play it where your strike zone, especially as a hitter, it's compact. You expand it against guys that can't necessarily pitch, you are doing them a huge favor, as well as those guys that can. But especially the team that you're talking about, there's not a lot of pitching on any of those staffs. They're all guys that probably wouldn't make the Dodgers staff. But right now, they're making pitches, and the Dodgers are expanding their strike zone, in my opinion, and making a few more easy outs than they need to.
Hey, Ned, if you had your choice, one or the other, the bullpen has obviously struggled. We've got lack of run production. But if you had to pick one in which you said, okay, this is what's going to turn around right now and this will make the difference, is it run production or is it the success of the bullpen?
Well, I think the first thing would be the run production. The second thing would be the bullpen. You're going to need them both. But as of right here, right now, on this particular moment in time, the offense, I think, has got to get going so you can give your pitching staff just some margin of error, because they pitch with really no margin of error. I think Alex Wood hasn't won a game yet. 16-3 last year. He's pitched very well. I think he's had 5 or 6 of his 9 starts where they scored 1 run or 0 runs, including last night while he was in the game. I think they may have scored 1. So you've got to get your offense going, because that kind of sets the tone a little bit. Certainly your starting pitching does. That's been pretty good. It's really your offense has really given the starting pitching and the bullpen no margin of error. I'd start there, but I'm not saying that's where it's got to end. Your bullpen does have to get straightened out. I think I read the other day they've allowed as many home runs as anybody in baseball, tied with Minnesota for the most home runs allowed. Your bullpen, I mean, you're really talking about one-on-one matchups entirely when you're in a bullpen situation. That, to me, is a little bit alarming. But, again, it's all fixable.
Ned, you know the fans. Make a trade. Pull the trigger. Do something. Do anything. But it's also safe to say that one trade is not going to turn this around. Does that make sense?
Well, I think that the talent is here. I think the to make one trade, if you want to go get that big infielder you're talking about,
right,
is that going to fix the bullpen? What are you going to have to give up? It's easy to say, make a trade, go get this great hitter, go do this, go do that. It's another thing to be able to do it. The other team has got expectations, too. They've got a fan base. They've got an ownership. They've got a system that they're trying to make successful, too. You just can't. It's not fantasy sport. You can't just make a deal because it's time to make a deal, or you want to make a deal, or you think you have an unlimited budget and you've got an unlimited farm system, and you just call somebody up and a deal gets done. It doesn't work that way. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work that way. And so you've got to be constant with it, and you've got to wait for the right timing. Sometimes a trade will take a year or two to take place. Sometimes it takes months. Adrian Gonzalez, I planned to see with Ben Charrington the end of April. It turned out to be August 25th. The Manny Ramirez deal, that happened that morning, but there was a deadline attached to it. It was July 31st. Theo Epstein called me at 6 in the morning. We worked on it till 1 o'clock Pacific time, the deadline time. So sometimes it's a long time making. Sometimes it's quick. But if you're a team right now with a talented player, you're gonna try to move at the deadline, your only downside is injury. That's your only risk. And is that a risk? Absolutely. But it's the only risk, because there's going to be more people bidding the longer you wait, and more desperation the longer you wait. And the only time you can make a deal, in my opinion, this time of year of consequence, is if you're going to pay a buck and a half for a dollar. If you're going to do that, you'll be able to do it. Because the team doesn't necessarily know on the other side what they're going to be able to extract. So you're going to have to take all the guesswork away and pay them more than probably time and a half on one. And, you know, you do that. And does that fix everything? Because a trade doesn't necessarily fix a problem. A trade may fix a problem. It may liven up the group. It may provide more offense. But there's no one deal that guarantees you anything. It doesn't work like that.
Right. That's what I've said all along.
Right.
I've agreed with you the whole time.
A little long-winded there, but I thought I needed to explain it to you.
No, and that's what people want to hear. They understand. You've done it. You've sat in the chair. You know how this works. And I think it's important for people to have the real perspective on how these things actually go down. So thank you for that.
It's hard to win, guys. I mean, look at the Lakers. Yeah. What basketball franchise was greater than that team for 20-plus years? And look what's happened. I mean, it's hard to win. And you can never, ever take it for granted. And those who think you should just win a World Series because you haven't won one, guess what? That's not how it works. Winning divisions are difficult. It's a hard business, and it's not easy to win. So you've got to be – it's a precious journey, and you got to work it as such.
Yeah, and people forget how difficult that is, as you said, winning five in a row, and then take it for granted the next year when you may struggle to start the season.
Think about the guys that have been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
In some cases, they've almost played an extra baseball season in that period of time compared to the competition that hasn't won divisions in the West. They've almost played an extra season. They played 2, 3, 4 weeks longer times five. That's a lot.
They're tired.
Well, mentally, it's a grind. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean you can't repeat. That doesn't mean you can't get back there. But there are other factors that enter into it, and it's the toughest thing to do. The ability to be, and this is just an opinion, the ability to be very successful, ultra-successful in a relentless way, year after year after year, is maybe the toughest thing to do in sport these days. When you look at the dynasties and you look at those teams that are constantly at the top of their sport, it's a very unique opportunity and group. Hard to do. Too many factors play against it, including mental weariness, injury, financial, where guys start to get paid so well that, you know what, it's hard to play, it's hard to win. You know, you take a day off here and there, whatever. You know, it's throughout sports. But it's hard to be. It's hard to be successful.
Ned, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it, as always, and love the insight.
All right, gentlemen. We're going to talk after a win next time. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's do it. All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ned.